Welcome to Black Opinions Matter, motherfucker. My name's Amin Ohassan. I'm joined, as always, by Big Jerv, by Black Trey, Rob Lopez on the ones and twos. And today, guys, I'm drinking out of a very special cup. Do you know what cup this is? This is the same styrofoam cup full of lean that Kanan offered to Tariq. And Tariq drank out of the straw, out of the same straw that this strange nigga just handed him this cup from. He went ahead and sipped immediately out of it, and the rest is history. And that's what I'm drinking out of. Big things going on today. We're going to talk about the Tiger Woods two-part documentary. The first part is out on HBO and HBO Max right now. If you want to check it out, go ahead and do that. We're going to talk about a little fun anniversary involving my man Trayvon and the Late Show with James Corden. We're also going to mention, I guess, the Busset Challenge? I don't know, but I want to start with some news that I guess is already out there. I already got cussed out by Don Gervais about this, so I left ESPN, guys. Yeah. There it is. Thank you. It was time for me to go. I can't really talk about too much other than to say that I left ESPN and I'm going to join Dan Le Batard and the Le Batard Show guys with what they're building down in Miami. Before you ask me, no, I'm not moving to Miami because I got so many texts about, all right, well, when we go hit up Miami Beach. No. I'm not moving. I'm just joining them as a party, part of their thing. If you're asking, you're wondering, nothing is going to change here on Bomb or at Count the Dings or Cinephobe or anything. All the podcasts that I'm doing right now, I'm going to keep doing. So don't worry. Nothing's going to change other than I'm not going to be on ESPN anymore. I'm not going to be on The Jump. I'm not going to be on ESPN Radio, which I really wasn't over the last few years anyway. And it's a weird feeling, guys. I got to tell you, it's I worked at ESPN longer than I worked anywhere in my life, which is a really weird thing to say. You always think about like things that happened when you were younger as that's where you learned this or that's where you grew up. I realized this the other day. I've lived in Arizona longer than I lived anywhere in my life. But if you ask me, quote unquote, where I'm from, I'm either going to tell you New York or Sudan. Those are the places. And Arizona is just some shit I just done recently. But the reality is I've lived here longer than anywhere else. And ESPN kind of feels like that to me, that I've always thought about myself as an NBA guy. My career that I wanted to do was in basketball. I wanted to work for basketball teams. I want to win a championship, all those things. And then ESPN came along and it was something to do. And you look up and it's 10 years later or 8 years later, excuse me. And this is what people identify you as, the TV guy, the media guy from Arizona. And I'm like, well, no, I'm neither of those things, but in a way I am. So I think unless you guys have any questions, I think that's the entirety of my statement on that matter.
Nope. I already knew, but Jerv, go ahead. Tell them why you was mad.
Yeah, yo. I thought we were cool. You know, I'm just, you know, everyone's friends, you know, we text, we talk about things, we share things. But it seems like when, you know, certain people get the bag or certain people make these changes where they leave the person, you know, leave where you met them at, they, you know, you got to find out through through podcasts, the damn podcast you're on or Twitter. So I just guess we're just not as cool as friends as I thought we were. But I do have one question for you.
What's up?
How long did you mull over losing the Disney man, Disney World privileges?
Man, I'm going to tell you this, and it's going to sound crazy. If there were a way for me to do this, to leave ESPN, but still be an employee of Disney, I would absolutely do it, man. I had a blast at ESPN. I met a lot of great people, like Jerv, and it's allowed me to meet other people. Like, I don't know if Trey, I don't even know if we would be friends if I was just some random guy on Twitter. I don't know. So
nah, you was funny, so you be all right.
All right. I appreciate that.
No, I'm just saying. Like, I mean, you be all right. You be all right, bro. Like, because I'm not your friend because.
No. I know. You're not. No, obviously.
I didn't even know what you look like, bro.
That's my point is that, like, it's something that opens doors, right? It's opened a lot of doors. But honestly, nah, man, nothing beats working for Disney. Because, first of all, you got kids. You tell your kids you work, like, Mickey Mouse is your boss. It's just like, this is the fucking coolest shit ever, man. And we going to Disneyland for free. And you know, I mean, I'll say this right now. People ask me, what was your favorite memory from ESPN? And without a doubt, it's not even close. Number one is I went to the Star Wars premiere and I took my family. I took my parents and my oldest kid. And we walked the red carpet and all the stuff, right? Took the pictures, whatever. Like, that's easily number one. And number two is probably when we toured Lucasfilm, when we went to do the NBA Finals. It was me and Jade. And I don't even remember who else was with us. Maybe a couple other people.
I got the
invite,
but I passed on it.
But you passed, yeah.
Yeah, I was cool.
Stephanie Snowden was with us, and there was a fourth person. I can't remember who it was. But we toured Lucasfilm. And again, it was, you know, obviously we were doing the pod by then, but it was still an ESPN property. So, like, all those things, I remember going into the gift shop and buying stuff and getting my Disney employee card out and getting a discount from the Lucasfilm gift shop. So, but working for Disney was like a dream come true, man. I never imagined it, but, like, once it happened, I feel like I got the most out of it. It was, yeah, like, I work for Disney and I got cool stories to tell about it. But you know, ESPN was cool too. I always think about, shout out to Jerv and shout out to the city of Philadelphia that still has about a couple more days here of slander free. I always think about the Beanie Siegel line. Like we said, I never wanted to do this. I feel sorry for those who did. Right. Well, is that the line? How's the line go, Jerv? In the truth, the promise from the song, The Truth.
Yeah, it's exactly what you say. I feel sorry. I never really wanted this. I didn't really work hard for this. I feel sorry for those that did.
There you go. Yeah, there it is. I never really worked hard for this. I feel sorry for those who did. And, you know, over the years, you encounter all these people like dreaming one day I'm going to be on ESPN or I'm going to be on SportsCenter. Or even worse, they ask you, how did you do it? How can I be like you and work for ESPN? And I used to feel bad. I'm like, well, I guess step one is never try to work for ESPN because off my experience, I didn't dream of it. I didn't even think it was a possibility until the day they contacted me and said, do you want to do this? Like, I did Henry Abbott's video that was produced by Jade Hoy, a True Hoop TV video. I did one about Dwight Howard joining the Lakers, and then I did another one about the Olympics. And I thought, somebody at one of these teams I'm talking to is going to see it and say, oh, man, he's pretty bright or whatever. Let's bring him in. And instead, it was ESPN that said that. Like, I never thought it would happen. And 8 years later, it's the longest I've ever worked anywhere. It's the most money I've ever made in my life. It's the single source of any sort of fame or notoriety you want to call it. And I've made all these connections and friends and all this stuff from something that I literally wasn't even looking for. So, shout out to ESPN. That was a great ride, and I'm thankful. And I sent a long ass Twitter thread thanking all the people who I felt like helped me along the way. And I'm sure I missed some names and people gonna be angry or whatever, but you know, it is what it is. But I'm excited about this next thing with Dan Le Batard. Dan's a guy that believed in me from the moment we started working together. And you know, I believe obviously in them and what they're doing, and so I'm excited for that. But guys, this also means something else. I could talk sports on Bomb again. Yay! Yes.
Hey man, yeah. When you go back to that thread and shout out Jerv though, my nigga.
I mean, I wasn't gonna bring that
you know,
up.
But you
I
know
mean,
what's crazy?
You didn't
though?
Miss an at on
you
that
know what's
shit.
Crazy? Niggas don't read on Twitter. Niggas thought I broke your news.
Oh, yeah. All right.
I said, damn, what's going on today? Trump quit today. You know,
is that official?
Nah.
Is that official?
Somebody was disgruntled, bro, and just fucked up the site. one of the employees. Okay. He gonna get let fired, just, but it's cool.
Let me say a couple of things. All right. So now that I'm out, I can say, and I don't mean this in any ill will to ESPN, because if I were my boss, I would have done the same thing to me. When they allowed us to start Count the Dings, to break away from ESPN and create our own podcast, well, I would say allow us. Everybody else wasn't working for ESPN except for me. So the rules for me were the podcast couldn't be on a rival network. So we couldn't like podcast for Fox Sports, for instance. Easy. Number two was can't talk sports, any sports. Which is why if you've been a long time listener of Bomb, you remember when we used to talk NBA shit every week. And all of a sudden it stopped. And it's not that we talk NBA stuff like, oh, what are the Clippers going to do now that they're not? We talk NBA stuff the way we talked about it. The fun way from our perspective, right? But it stopped for the most part. And that's because my contract would not allow me to do that. And then the third thing was I couldn't talk politics, which, of course, as soon as summer 2020 happened, it was like, everyone, like, we're all talking politics now. But now I can finally say this. Even though I think I've said it, but I'm going to say it with my chest. Fuck Donald Trump. Get the fuck out of here, you racist-ass bastard. And also, damn, the Knicks were good just a week ago. It's all over for them now. There it is. And then the third thing is shout-out to Bleacher Report, Fox Sports, whoever wants to buy this podcast. All right.
Boom.
Yo, you fucking jinxed the Sixers, too, by the way, bro.
Man. Hey, Jeremy should be happy. Right now,
they lost two games since we picked them up.
And what do you say? And what do you say? You say, of course we lost. 90% of our team ain't even out there. Some dude named Isaiah Joe, which sounds like a fake ass name. Sounds like his name is Joe, but he kind of looked like Isaiah Thomas. So niggas start calling him Isaiah Joe. That's what his name sound like.
He looked like Zeke from Power. No, I'm just playing.
Don't do him like that.
Let me did I send you all that meme?
Which one? The of him one playing about, the guitar?
Not that one. The meme was a picture of him, and someone asked the question wholeheartedly, is this nigga retarded?
Oh yeah, I saw
that. Like in real life. Say that word.
I'm not saying that. I'm quoting a meme. I'm not saying that. I don't use that word, but yes. But someone in the meme truly, honestly questioned whether he had mental retardation. Like the real life actor, not the character.
Is he like late 30s too? I'm assuming he might be 40, bro. I'm not age shaming because I'm damn near on the closer side to 40 now too. So that's pretty cool.
Oh, that's right. Trey just took another trip around the sun.
Shout out to the oldest young motherfucker I've ever met in my life. When I met Trey, I swore Trey was like 24, 25. He told me his age, and I was like, get the hell out of here. Like,
I'm gonna tell
no
you,
way you're over 30.
Jerv, I'm going to tell you right now, as long as he keeps a hat on, Trey can go to high school right now, and nobody would think twice. Now you take that hat crazy. On, niggas are going to be like, that nigga's not in high school. Who'd you come to pick up?
No, hey, remember Ball Fam was in high school, though, fam? You don't know, my man Michi.
Oh, man, Hoopin, right? Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's Michi, bro. He out here locking up.
I need to see a birth certificate. Yeah, bro.
That dude look like he's my dad, man. He out here clapping hard on defense, too. Like,
Hashtag BallFam has so much confidence.
Jerb, are you part of that hashtag?
What is the hashtag again?
BallFam.
Hey, bro, listen, just because y'all, you know what? I'm not even going to go there. Y'all got it. But when I pop back up with this curly hair and I'm not on my George Costanza.
Boy, let me tell you something. First of all, Trey, that shit you recommended, it's the worst tasting thing ever.
Oh, I'm sure. It tastes like literally sticking your hand in a flower pot.
Yes. Yes, but the only, like, I cut it now with juice. I tried it with water. It's impossible. So now I'm drinking it with orange juice, and it's still bad, but the orange juice kills the taste a little bit.
is it worse than ginseng back in the day when we were young, when like ginseng was the worst thing ever?
Yeah. Oh, shit. Yeah.
Also, we got a fact check from our producer. Daniel Bellamy is 26 years old.
Is that Michi?
That's his name?
That's Zeke.
Oh, Zeke. Zeke?
Daniel Bellamy? Is a stupid question. I'm assuming he's related to Bill.
To Roy? Roy Bellamy. Shout out to Roy Bellamy.
I'm not sure if he's Bill Bellamy's sibling or related to him.
No, it could be his son.
But he kind of favors him a little bit.
At 26, he could be his son.
They got the same hair.
And the same, the same hair, yes. Yeah.
Juices and berries.
But really quick, while we're on the subject of Trey's trip around the world, Trey, this is also kind of sort of the anniversary of you being on the James Corden show on the live Tinder. And you actually, unlike Waz, who was also on that episode, but I believe he got cut real quick, you actually made it to the final and you were on national TV.
I look better than Waz.
Broadcast TV, and you had the nose ring in. That helped too. It made you less threatening as a black guy. Waz just looked like a nigga. Waz looked like, yo, this nigga wandered in, get him, wander him the fuck out. But Trey looked like, yeah, I'm black, but I've been around. I'm open-minded.
So if we go back to that and flashback, first of all, it's two anniversaries. You gave me my rites of passage, January 10th, 2017, saying I was going to be a star. And then...
For real?
Also, yeah, I got the tweet. I tweet it every year. I retweet it, but it's in my likes. It's just the one like I have. And then also this situation, I'll give you guys a little backdrop if you haven't heard the story. It was 25 guys. We're all in one room eating snacks, got beverages in the back room. And, you know, these guys are literally models. Like, you know how the white dudes be.
Models and actors.
Models and actors, bro. Like leather coats. You know, slick hair, all this other
Macklemore
shit.
Macklemore haircuts.
Me and Waz are in there talking to these dudes. These dudes are like, yeah, I got to audition with this and I got to audition with that. What do you guys do? We're like podcasters. They're like, oh, okay. So then after that, they line us up. They give us a walkthrough of like how to fall into the ball pit if you're like rejected. So as we're walking back, they say, you know what? We're going to make a cut. And they cut about 11 people. And Waz was a part of the second cut. So he got a chance to walk up, but they gave him the boot because he wore a bomb hat, to be honest.
Yes. No, they gave him the boot. he had an answer that was a no. They asked a question. I can't remember what the question was. It's on YouTube if you want to look it up. Look up James Corden Tinder Live. And there are a couple of options there, but you'll see the one with Trey's face on it. That's the one. By the way, Trey, did you know this? The second most watched Tinder Live they've ever done is your episode. Number one was Chelsea Handler.
That's fire.
For Chelsea Handler, so obviously that's number one. But number two is your episode.
Damn, man. What's up? Bring me back one more time, Ian Carmel and crew.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? We'll get them virtual checks.
Shout out to Ian. Shout out to Jenna. Shout out to, obviously, James Corden.
So we're in the back. Mean's there. He's just chilling. And the show's rolling. So I'm behind a curtain. I never had makeup on my face before. So they're doing all this other stuff. I get pushed out of a curtain. And you're told not to speak. You just have to smile. And you're just getting broke down pretty much. Like, you got nice hair. You got nice smile. You're unattractive, etc. So I'm sweating because the lights from the stage lights are beaming.
Yep.
And then also I'm thinking a million things in my head. Do I got something in my teeth? You know, did I brush my hair right? You know, is my fit okay? And
should I claim the set real quick?
You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know. Should I be corny? You know what I mean? Different things of that nature just to try to stick around and win. Because Amin was like, look, one of y'all got to make it. Y'all go as far as possible, but rep bomb. So we're like, all right, man, we're going to try to do it. So Waz was out of there early. I got on. So Amin's watching from the back of the green room, and he's like juiced. So
and I'm lit.
He's definitely lit. So, and this is at the time where I couldn't even have a drink. I think I was sober.
This is vegan Trey at this point, yeah.
So then I get selected and I'm sitting there, and my man Stu, shout out to Stu. Stu tweets me every year, you know, his stuff. And then my other man.
What's he up to? What's my nigga Stu up to?
Stu's chilling, bro. He's chilling, bro. He actually, when I posted it yesterday as an anniversary, he was like, man, right on. Go Bucks. But yeah, nah, he's cool, man. And then shout out to Jenna too. You know, she's still cool, bro. Her mom always asks, you know, how are we doing, me and Stu? Even though I got curved on national TV. But the question that came about, you know, James Corden shot on my goatee, said my goatee was trash, said I could have dressed up a little. You know what I'm saying? A couple of chicks was out there hooting and hollering for your boy. 8 million views, not bad, bro. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, man. Here and there. And at the time, I didn't have social media, so it was like, it's a little tough, man. If they would have put my handle on there, I probably would have been real.
You would have lit. Yeah,
I would have been lit. So,
8.7, by the way, is the number. 8.7 million.
8.7 million.
Number one is 11 million. That's Chelsea Handler was 11 million. Trey did 8.7. So, just a little, like, you know, perspective for you guys.
Nice little flex. So, the question was, have you ever curved anybody? I mean, not curved, ghost anybody, and. You know, in the hood, we don't use ghosts. So I was confused. So I'm asking the other contestants that's sitting up there with me, like, yo, what's
what
ghost?
What did I mean?
Yeah. So we took a TV break and they explained it before we answered. So I had time to think about it and I was like, yo, I'm going to be funny. But in the principle of like saying I wanted to be funny, I'm like, there's consequences with trying to be too witty with America.
Right.
Because I have to leave this later and people are just going to just ruin my dating life from here on out. So I'm like, I'm going to just give a straight answer. So my man Stu said his mama treated him better. He knows, you know, and I'm just like, I'm a great person of principles, but my nervousness, I'm on TV. I'm nervous. I hadn't did anything like that. If it was sports, easy, because you don't have to look at the camera.
And by the way, this is going to sound crazy. It's not ESPN. ESPN at any given time, maybe you're talking about 200, 300,000 viewers. If you're doing like a primetime sports center, maybe a couple mil. But like, for the most part, and by the way, when you're doing ESPN, the only, even Trey, you've seen it, like the studio look like, Jerv, you know this too, camera guy, sound guy, producer, maybe there's a total of 15 people in the room. What Trey's doing here is on CBS, so this is national motherfucking TV. Niggas who ain't got cable and ain't got no internet can get this. And then second of all, you're talking about a fucking live audience at stadium seating. We're not talking about like 12 people got in. There might be like 100 people in that room, right?
Yeah, it was
like
easy 100 people. Just like all women, you know what I'm saying? Just ready to just gut you. Either you trash or you not. And like, that's my pride right there. If they would have called me trash and got eliminated right then and there, I don't know. I probably would have had to hide off a little bit. But for the most part, man, I made it on. I gave my answer. The next guy that was next to me, shout out to him. He's a comedian, actually, a real life comedian. He was funny as hell. Dan, he was from Chicago. Right. So he told
I remember. Yeah.
So his little riff was like he kept his hands in his pockets, and that was during the Burger King commercial where they was like, do he have abnormal hands? And he pulled his hands out and his hands were normal size, but he, and you know, he was like a teddy bear, bro. He got it off, bro. I thought he was going to win it. So when we went back, Jenna had a chance to decide and she chose Stu. Now I was cool because like, at the end of the day, I was like, you know, I'm ready to get out of here. I ain't really trying to be on national TV going on a date, but it was just a cool experience. And in the back, we got a chance to see Tyra Banks and Doctor Who. Yep. And, you know, I told Tyra Banks I had a crush on her, bro, from like when I was a kid. Yeah. I don't know how she took that because it made her feel like she was hella old. But
she was mad cool, man. Like I was surprised by how cool Tyra Banks was. I kind of felt like she was going to be, I don't know, more diva-ish. And instead, like, I remember she took Jenna and Stu and gave him this whole speech about like relationships and making it work and shit like that. And I was like, damn, like, this is some real life shit right here. I'm gonna take some notes. Oh man, what a day that was. Also, it's a good thing you didn't win, because I don't know if you remember, Jenna and Stu had to have a fucking date afterwards on the show, and they had to sit at a table.
That's the point that I was talking about. I didn't want to do that part. The live
sit-in.
That was
just too much.
Nah, yep. It was too much.
They kept checking back with them. because Corden over here on the couch with Tyra. Hey, let's check back with Jenna and Stu. And I'm like, oh, shit, this is awkward as hell.
My boy was out here talking about the video games. That's cool, though. I mean, that kind of similar to, like, what the lane I would probably be on. Because I'm just on some nerdy shit. I mean, I probably wouldn't be being reckless on national TV, especially with a live camera there. So, you know, but overall, it was a fun experience. Thank you, Amin, for giving me the courage on my birthday. It's literally on my Cheers. Birthday to go do that. And, you know, it was probably one of my my funnest birthdays outside of, you know, my 2000 party.
Guys, let's be honest. We're all among friends. It can be awkward, even embarrassing to talk about erectile dysfunction. Usually we brush it off or blame ourselves. But Roman is here to get you the advice you want and the help you need with zero shame. Look, here's the deal. How often do you use excuses like, I had a long day at work, or I'm just not feeling it? It isn't easy to talk about erectile dysfunction. But Roman makes it easy to discuss and treat ED. A healthy life includes a healthy sex life. But if you struggle with ED, you may not feel like your best self. You might not feel confident. You may not feel like you're in control. And so if you want help with erectile dysfunction, Roman connects you with a real U.S. licensed healthcare professional who can prescribe the medicine you need. Here's the deal. With Roman, you can get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your home. You don't have to wait in some weird waiting room. You don't have to talk to your doctor in person and be like, none of that. It's all discreet. A healthcare professional will work with you to find the best treatment plan. And if medication is appropriate, Roman will ship you real medicine with free 2-day shipping. Yeah, that's right. The whole process is straightforward, simple, and discreet. And getting started is so simple. All you got to do is go to GetRoman.com/BOM and complete an online visit. ED used to be tough to talk about, but now there's Roman. Complete an online visit today, connect with a doctor, and take care of it. Once again, all you got to do, go to GetRoman.com/BOM. You get $15 off your first order of ED treatment. You get a free online visit and free 2-day shipping. That's GetRoman.com/BOM for $15 off your first order of ED treatment. GetRoman.com/BOM. All right, speaking of fun, the Bus It Challenge. I didn't know what it was when Trey was like, Bus It Challenge. I was like, okay. Then I went to Twitter and I looked up the hashtag. I was like, oh, okay. And I watched a bunch. And then I came across a meme where it said, wife downstairs. Why does that song keep playing over and over again? I was like, yo, man, I could see why. Because I definitely went down a rabbit hole. For those that don't know, the Bus It Challenge is apparently these girls be dressed kind of normal, I guess, or dressed down, and they dance in very kind of calmly to Nelly Hot in Here. And then all of a sudden they drop it, and then the music switch. And when they come back up, they dress sexy, and like they dropping it. Showing off them good knees. And let me just say right now, I'm surprised they didn't pick the Nelly song that is way more relevant, which is Drop Down, get your eagle on, girl. Like, I thought that would be the song you would do this to, but hey, I ain't mad. I'm not trying to be, well, actually, man, I just like watching the talent.
Hey, man, let the women have fun, bro. Zerv, you on Cheers. Mute.
That damn mute button. I actually thought you was going to say tip drill.
No, come on, man. That is offensive and objectifies women, John.
That's a, oh my bad. I didn't realize that was offensive. My fault. It's a song.
I'm fucking with you, man. All
right, but no, seriously though.
I was gonna say that got awkward for me.
On a serious note though, I love the Busted Challenge, but why the niggas gotta get involved? Don't nobody wanna see these niggas throwing suits and all that shit, bro. Let the women have this, bro.
Let me this goes to everybody who tries to co-opt something that belongs to a different community. Just like, did you guys see the white salesperson who tried to do the where the money reside thing? It's like, motherfucker, this ain't for you, man. Just appreciate it. Retweet or repost the original. Say, ha ha ha, this is so fun and funny. Oh my God, you're an inspiration to car salesmen anywhere. Everywhere. And leave it at that. Like, just appreciate, you know, salute. Same thing for the Busted Challenge. Fellas, don't nobody want to see you do no Busted Challenge, man. Nobody. Get the fuck on. I click on that hashtag. I'm looking for one thing and one thing only. The originators of this magical hashtag, this magical trending topic.
Black women.
The ladies. The black women in particular, because...
was a black women challenge. I will say that. Shouts to all races.
But this everybody's lovely.
But this is a black women challenge.
Come up with your own challenge. The Tabitha challenge. I don't know. I don't know what challenges you white people have. But come up with your own, and we'll support it and like it and think it's funny. Right? Okay, I mean,
we support it, liking it, say it's funny.
I mean, Derv. Okay, all right. You get my point. You get my gist. I will say though, man, God, there's some cheeks on the timeline. And you know what's funny? There were a lot of these women who, when they were dressed down, I'm like, yo, yeah, you cute, whatever. Okay, like, oh, look at you, and you. And look, all right, like, okay, you got a little ass there. Okay, let's go. And then as soon as the makeup and the switch happen, like, where would that ass come from? Can they do makeup to make ass look bigger? Because that shit was like, it didn't look like that in the beginning. Or maybe the angle was just messed up. I don't know. But I never stare a gift horse down the mouth.
So right now, my timeline is nothing but fire Doug Peterson.
That already happened, so.
Right. I'm sorry. Doug Peterson fired. The Steelers. All the memes about the Steelers Busted Challenge. And, you know, I mean, listen. Who am I to stop the people from doing what they want to do in order to have fun? Right? Salute to everybody. Like my man Trey say all the time, let the women have fun.
Let the women have fun. Don't put no Bibles in there. Don't be putting no memes in there. Even though the one meme was funny though, with the white lady falling from the thing. Oh yeah, that was funny, bro. But outside of that, go ahead. I mean,
no. Go ahead, finish your point.
No, but I'm saying outside of that, man, let these women, man. Actually, this is the way we are able to identify, because guys have that eye, right? You can catch a shorty in a grocery store. She got a head wrap on. She might got some sweats on and a t-shirt. You know that it's a real life Busted Challenge off first view. You already know that she gonna clean up. What did we say, Jerv? Clean up nice. You know shorty clean up nice off of first situation. So we don't need no Busted Challenge, but I appreciate the Busted Challenge. Shout outs to them good knees. Shout outs to the fine women that God has created. You know, let the women have fun, bro.
Let me just say this right now. I've said this to multiple women in my lifetime. You want to dress up? Fine. You want to put on makeup and high heels and a freakum dress? Like, I support you. But if you ask my opinion, what do you want to see me in? I always tell them the same thing. If I think you look fine in sweats and one of my t-shirts, and some natty old slippers that look like they've been through hell and back, then that's what's good enough for me. I don't need all them extra bells and whistles, baby girl. I love you for who you are. That's my universal stance towards dressing up. Now, there are some women that I've seen who are dressed up, were amazing, and then when they dress down, I'm like, oh, I've been sold a bill of goods. happen. But for the most part, I support you in your natural state. Real quick, I just, because you did bring up the meme of old girl was dancing, and then when she did, went drop down for the busset, it was the white lady falling off the wall at the Capitol building. Obviously, what happened last Wednesday was both horrific and hilarious. And so rather than rehash something that's almost a week old at this point, I urge everybody to go back, listen to the bomb episode of Woke Bros with Nando and Big Waz. They had it literally the day of it happening. They covered it as well as anybody covered it. Go back, listen for that Thursday episode. They recorded on Wednesday, the day of the Capitol building stuff. So that they can do it better justice than any of us can almost a week later. So shout out to that. All right, guys, you want to talk about Tiger Woods now?
Yes.
I'm going to just say this real quick, given because I didn't finish the episode. I still got 30 minutes to go, but I want to say of in episode one, I am a little disappointed. So much of it was about golf. Like, honest to God, I don't give a fuck about how he won Augusta or St. Andrews or whatever. I gave a fuck more about shit like the ex-girlfriend, the home videos, the dude who was a golf pro at the Naval Golf Course, the dude who was friends with Tiger's daddy. Like, that's the shit I wanted. Like, stuff about him. I don't give a fuck about, like, oh, and then he was 10 strokes down. I mean, that shit.
I'm going to say I'm disappointed, but I'm still going to watch it. This was just from the school of OJ and MJ's doc. Bit lazy. Commentary.
Not OJ doc.
Well, I mean, I'm just talking.
You thought the 30 for 30 was lazy?
No. OJ doc. And then this is what I'm talking about. I said this is lazy compared to those because it's in the same school of it.
Oh, woo, child.
No. I enjoyed the Michael Jordan and the OJ doc, but I'm just talking about as slanderous. Like, I felt like the people involved, right? And I know Amin mentioned the first girlfriend and the dad's friend. I felt like these people are cut out and are like, let me give my viewpoint. And it's just like high school and gossip and sex and the nuances, the curiosity of it all. Like, I mean, at the end of the day, I felt like they could have gave us so much more, but it's just kind of like, let's make a doc. Let's highlight a few things. Cool. I didn't know about Earl's, you know, him being a womanizer and doing his thing in the camper or whatever. But
damn, spoiler alert.
I mean, I told everybody to watch it.
No, I for me, nigga, I got 30 minutes.
It means not there yet.
It's all good. I knew it's a womanizer.
Yeah. So I mean, these are things that are to be told, but also you look at it like, okay, he's dealing with fame. But we wanted to see a different angle. I feel like the first girlfriend, she's salty, right? She was cut out of the picture, got dumped by a letter. Cool. But like now you get your bars off. I'm sure he didn't approve of this or anything. So they're just kind of giving it from that director's perspective of these people in life. And then the dad homie selling out Earl RIP. And just, that was just nasty. That was nasty behavior for me.
In the case of the ex-girlfriend, you're right. She did come off as salty. Like, I tried to warn him and I tried to prepare him. And then they saw me as a threat. I was like, I don't need all that. But I did appreciate like her talking about what he was like in school and the home videos and what he's like when he came to her house and shit like that. I did appreciate that shit. Like, honestly, when it comes to this stuff, you kind of have to watch with an open mind, but also a wary eye. Meaning, like, these people are giving you real-life gems, but it's buried within their own personal agendas. And so in that sense, like, while I'm with you, Trey, I'm like, this girl's definitely out here trying to make it seem like, oh, I tried to da-da-da, but also she did give us glimpses into what high school Tiger was like, which is something I never knew about. And that's as close as we're going to get.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of knew homie was corny and all that. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, sure.
The no friends. I mean, regardless of how rich he got, he's kind of similar to like Queen's Gambit, where everybody was just kind of like, yo, you weird until you start making bread and getting famous. You know what I'm saying? Because that's just kind of how it goes. You always a weirdo until you popular. You feel me? and you only get popular because of the bread. So in his situation, like, this cat had all his shrines at the crib and nobody knew because football was outshining his sport. You know what I'm saying? And he bagged shorty. He's kind
of like a real bully right now.
Nah, I mean, come on, man. I ain't no
nobody
bully.
Give a fuck about no golf.
But listen, I respect it, dog. He got the last laugh at the end of the day because he's just nice as fuck. I thought, you know, obviously, I remember when black people reacted about him saying he wasn't identifying as black. That shit caused a crazy uproar because and they made an important point in the doc was that how we latch on to young black people, successful people early on and claim them until they do some ignorant shit. Like, that's the same thing. Like, we love Lil Wayne until this nigga endorsed Trump. So, like, until you do that bullshit or you say, I'm not black, I'm OJ, it's one of them situations where we're going to ride with you until you heel turn on us. And we still might take you back. Because niggas, you know, when we did the whole Tiger Woods shit after everybody wrote him off and the nigga killed it, we was on this motherfucking episode like, look at Tiger, my nigga.
Yo, let me ask this question right now. I know, Trey, you're a little younger, so this might be a harder question, but when Tiger Woods blew up, what were your feelings about him? Let me start with Jerv, because Jerv, you older. You remember when he blew up. You was in high school, right, when he won the Masters?
I think so, yeah. I was all in, bruh. I started watching golf. I'm in the sneaks. So, two things. One, because of Tiger, it did become a thing where I started watching, what is it, the Masters? It's on Father's Day? Whatever it is, it comes on Father's Day, because he was always playing on that Sunday and he always had the red polo on. It became a thing where I started watching that with my dad. But in high school, when Tiger got, before he got, I guess like before, like, did he ever get like a sneaker?
Nah.
Or did he just have cleats?
So they gave him clubs. They gave him a shirt, the polo shirt.
He definitely had cleats.
He had the clothing line.
He had the clothing line, but his initial thing was Tiger Woods, the game, the EA Sports game.
Right.
Well, I know he definitely had cleats, and the reason I know, I had them.
Jerv, you had the red polo and the fucking visor too, didn't you? Or the hat.
So it was weak as fuck out there on the green.
Look, first of all, I didn't swing a club until motherfucking like 3 years after being the ESPN, right?
But you still had the polo and the hat, right?
You got damn right. I had the polo. So one Easter, my best friend, like my brother, we went it was a thing. Everybody, all the youngins went to the zoo, right? All the, you teenager, you go to the zoo. It'd be some joints there, whatever the case may be, you walking around. This one particular joint, I went in and I had my mom go get me the Tiger Woods cleats. He had whatever Nike, like they may not have been officially Tiger Woods, but like whatever the ones he was rocking, I had the cleats, I had the red polo, and I had the mother effing visor on. And I never forget my best friend, my homegirl, that's like a sister, my best friend. I went by her crib, and this is so fucking whack. I can't believe I'm sharing this. They opened the door and I rolled a fucking golf ball into the crib as if, hey, look at me, motherfucker. I got all this golf shit on. Yeah, I know what I'm talking about. Right now, like, I thought I was thorough as hell, but like, it's so whack. I was probably...
Hold on.
That's a whack ass brag.
That nigga, hold on. That nigga...
Yeah, bro. That nigga. Hey, listen, it be like that sometimes, dog. You swing and you miss. Sometimes
Trey,
shit works, sometimes shit
don't. Laughing at this shit, man.
I think Trey is more embarrassed. Like, he's ashamed.
Yeah, nah,
like,
can't believe this is Jerv, bro. Like, that's not...
I was all in, dude. It was Tiger Woods. Nah. Black man, dog. Support my people.
Nah. Roll the golf ball.
Nah. I'm not rolling. Nigga said he rolled the ball. Come on, bro. That's bullshit, like it was yesterday, bro. You would have been the nigga they picked for that.
Bro, I literally opened they opened the door and I had the golf ball and I just rolled that bitch. And then I walked in like I was the fucking man with these golf cleats in somebody's crib. And like in the hood. I'm in the hood,
wait,
my G.
No, you wore the shit.
I'm in the hood.
Man, I wish Angry Man was there. Just sitting there, man, sit your ass down.
I'm just telling you, bro. Like, if you could, like, I got, like, yeah, bro, I caught public transportation, everything. Wait. Like, so many people probably saw
right,
me on the
now
bus.
I can
and
laugh,
probably, like,
bro.
Look at this.
You're
nut.
On the bus
look
with fucking Tiger Woods cleats.
Yeah, dog, I was out here, yo. I was fresh. You couldn't tell me nothing, bro. You couldn't tell me shit.
Yeah, you out of control, bro.
Hey, I would have called the police on that nigga because I would have swore he stole something from a country club. That nigga's sick, bro. The first time I got into Tiger Woods was 99, though, bro. Shout out to my man Chuck. He had the Tiger Woods game, and Cats was playing it. And that just changed everything because it was just kind of like Tony Hawk hit the hood. You know, we got to go into video games before we get interested. So at this particular time, I'm 15, 14, 15, and I'm like, I fired it up. And I like kind of got an interest, but I'm trash as fuck at golf. I'll never get on the green like that. And me and Amin got a chance to go to the waste management shit. I don't even think we watched the fucking swing, bro.
Shit, but... hell no. we had a great time though.
Hey, shout out to golf. I just like to be lit at the golf course. Fuck it. I can't do all the other shit, you know. But yeah, man, you know, bro is a killer. You know what I'm saying? Like, Earl, one thing, you know, LeVar Ball get mad recognition and shit like that. Earl is a sicko. That nigga had a little tiger up in the garage while he was swinging at 18 months, bro. Like, this nigga basically brainwashed the
10
baby.
10 months. He said 10 months.
10 months. Brainwashed 10 the baby, bro, to learn how, like, to be fascinated with golf. And I do believe that, like, some parents, they get so sick in the head of creating this lifestyle that they couldn't live and putting it into their kids. And sometimes it's like, you know, not to remix my thing, but let the kids be kids. Cause you look at a nigga like Michael Jordan who crazy obsessed with hoop, and then nigga kids didn't make the league. It's like, you kind of just got to rock with it. But he also didn't have time to really be just kind of coaching them niggas up like that. This nigga Earl is the complete opposite. He, you know, he done been in the military, all this other shit, and he forcing this shit. Like, you would swear Earl is the nicest nigga in golf, but he just, you know, he's so obsessed with golf and he wanted his son to be great. Nigga compared to nigga that said he's gonna be like Gandhi, nigga. Watch out.
Yo,
but Earl was probably trash at golf. Like, I would love to, it's funny y'all said, I would have loved to have heard somebody say, yeah, you know what I mean? I played with Earl. I played a quick 18 with Earl. That nigga was ass. Yeah, like, I would have loved to have heard somebody say that. Like, Earl wasn't even nice. Like, I don't even know how he had this kid.
But that's like LeVar, though, right? Nobody said LeVar.
Now, LeVar said he,
yeah,
LeVar
I mean,
said he
LeVar,
gave Jordan
LeVar
his,
was
his
on the
work.
1995 Carolina Panthers practice squad. So we'd give you that. He was a professional athlete and something.
Okay, so this nigga was like a Navy
but
SEAL
he played
and
football.
Shit. Wasn't
but,
he?
But nigga, niggas be in the Navy every day, B. Like, you know what I mean? Now, listen, you know, I think golf is probably the hardest fucking sport, bro.
Nah. Oh. I'm going to say this. I'm terrible at it. I will never be good at it. But, like, I don't give a fuck. I don't fucking respect any sport where they tell me I got to shut the fuck up because this nigga got to concentrate to hit the ball. I'm like, shut the fuck up.
Nah,
man.
Bro, I ain't rolling golf with me. That shit hard and humbling.
Nah, fuck that.
Look, yo, golf is the wildest sport.
Niggas,
I'm
no,
not saying that.
No one's playing defense.
Bruh, no, see?
Nigga, the wind
nope,
playing defense.
I'ma tell you.
Oh, because it ain't windy when you play football.
I'm not saying that I'm this super athlete that can play everything, but like, I'm okay. I can play basketball. I can play football. I can play baseball. Hell, I can even play soccer back in the day. Mm-hmm. I'm old now. Jer, you know
what
I mean?
Years you was Bart Letterman. Go ahead, Uncle Rico.
Uncle Rico,
So I got into golf, right? I'm going to the range. I'm swinging. I'm feeling. I'm like, hell yeah. Oh, this is nothing, right? So we go out to the course. You know, the beers is flowing. We doing all that shit. All of a sudden, out of nowhere, I've got this crazy slice in my swing. I mean, I'm talking about no matter what I do, it's going left. It was so crazy that I started facing the opposite direction just to compensate for this.
Derv, let me ask you a question, bro. You ever had to hit a curveball?
Yes.
Okay.
That shit's hard as fuck.
Okay. You ever had to hit a contested three-pointer?
Yes, it's hard. Well, that's not that hard.
Have you ever
hard, but it's not golf hard.
Okay. Chill, Ray Allen.
Hold on. Have you ever had to make a deep throw while someone's coming to knock your fucking head off?
Yes.
Okay. Something tells me that if you can't fucking hit a ball with nobody seeing shit around you, that may not be a sport. That may just be a fucking hobby. It's a hobby, man. It's a fucking hobby.
Nah, it's different, bro. It's different.
Chess is hard. Fucking solitaire is hard sometimes. Spades is hard when your teammate is trash. Golf ain't hard, man.
All those shits are hard, bro. But you're going against something or somebody. Golf, it's literally just you. And if Amin you
gonna
fuck
have a new beef with the golf community. This nigga be racking them up every week, bro.
I'm trying to, bro.
It's a nice little game.
I would love to go to. I suck, but I would love to do. Because I'm not doing 18. A quick nine. Well, not even quick. Because a nine for me would probably take fucking 36. Be like 36 holes for somebody else. I would love to do nine with you and just watch the frustration.
No, nigga, I'm not saying it's easy. I'm saying it's not a sport. That's what I'm saying.
I'm not rolling.
I'm saying spades is hard. Spades isn't a sport.
Hey, fucking, bro, at these cookouts, spades might.
It's not a sport.
You might get some box off a spades game.
Hello?
Being the nicest nigga at spades in the hood.
Shit.
I bet you get more than you would being the nicest golfer in the hood.
Not when I pull up in that motherfucking Bugatti.
Nah, bro. Cause when what did Tiger get from Nike?
Nigga,
he got 5-year $100 million. Then he doubled back with Buick. Then he doubled back with another Nike deal. Then he doubled back with EA Sports.
I ain't never heard of nigga in the hood get 500 for playing spades.
You ain't seen my nigga Slim. That nigga was the nicest spades player I've ever seen in my life. He could take a rando off the street.
Destroy Slim, dog.
Teach them how to play spades on the spot and win with them. That's how good Slim was.
Hey, dog, listen. You get my partner, my college roommate, my partner, check rock. Anybody can get in the spades.
I just
want
to say happy birthday to Monet Tejada, a.k.a. Mary J. Blige. She turned 50 today.
Oh, she's 50. Wow. She looked good for 50, man.
Looking very good. Go buy her wine and go stream Power.
Yeah.
What wine does she have?
Nigga, she got her own shit.
What are we about to get?
Is it called Mary J. Blige?
It ain't called.
Is it called What's the 411?
That would be. I'm not that would have been extra fire.
Trey, can I ask you a question? You may not be able to answer this on the pod or not, but I apologize if you can't. Is rapper wine the equivalent of rapper weed?
Rappers have weed?
It's the new thing now. It's a new wave. Nah, rappers have weed.
Nah, I do.
It's super duper expensive for no reason.
Nah, I respect it, but like I said, it's kind of like where how people don't want their basketball players rapping or doing anything else, right? Let them niggas invest their money into that shit. It's cool. I just don't think that they putting all the expertise into it. I just don't think that a nigga really know where the grapes is coming from, where the soil is mixed in. But Snoop shit, fire in the hood. It's E-40 shit, fire. It just depends what type of palate you got. I'm not going to shame that because Snoop wine is very good for a $12 wine. And then you can just go up and play a little bit. But, you know, I'm a Chilean cap, my nigga, Sancerre. You know, give me some New Zealand soft. Jerv, you got to broaden your horizons, even though you'd rather get a hard liquor, you know.
Yes, sir. But just give me Jack Daniel. Well, I'm off Jack Daniels, bro.
I just don't want you.
Uncle Nearest.
I don't want you. Uncle Nearest is pretty good. Shout out to Uncle Nearest.
Yeah.
But, you know, it just depends. Whatever floats your boat. You know, I've been off the Moet, you know, for the past couple of days. I need to get back on some Sean. Sean Don.
You hear this? You hear him? I mean, you hear how he just slid that in?
I've been
on the Moet for the last couple of days.
Jerv, different tax bracket, bro. Different tax bracket.
Hey, man, don't send my uncle for me.
Look, and he kind of shitting on Snoop's wine. You know, it's good for a little $12 bottle of wine.
Nah, because
I'm over here praising it.
Nah, it's fire as hell because I actually just told somebody to buy it. No, it's not that.
Snoop got
it's just
wine?
That. shopping for wine is overwhelming. First of all,
very
it's
much.
Very overwhelming. So if I said, what do you drink? Red, white, sweet, dry, full. What do you really like? You're going to think I'm talking about some bullshit. I'm going to be like, okay. A nigga grabs a new bottle. He going to say, hey, is this shit cool? I'm going to say, yes. And you know, niggas that buy wine don't want to spend bread. They want to just kick it. Like, nigga, this really ain't my turn up. I'm going to spend for the Deleon, or I'm going to get the Douce, or I'm going to go get something else. So if I say, yo, you trying to be fancy with a chick? Get the Snoop wine. She going to enjoy it. And it's high alcohol percentage. So you both going to get lit.
Super high.
The Snoop one is?
Yes, sir.
What's it called?
19 Crimes.
19 Crimes. That's a good ass name.
What's his joint? It's Cali Red, right? You muted, nigga.
Yeah, it's on the sweet side.
You're pulling a Jerv.
It's on the sweet side, but it's good.
You think that's sweet? The Snoop wine's sweet?
It's not too sweet, but it's more richer than the dry shit. I be on some bland shit, family.
That nigga said, I want no seasoning in my wine. Well, let's leave it on that point. Hey, thanks a lot for everybody. Listen, thank you to Big Jerv. Thank you to Black Trey. Thank you to Rob Lopez on the one and twos. Thank you to all the people who are listening and subscribing. Again, this is an independent podcast company. We greatly appreciate all your love and support. And you know, anyone who clicks and subscribes and all that stuff, it's big time for us. So we really appreciate it. Black opinions matter. Fuck you. I don't know how to end it. I'm like,
fuck
hey.
You is funny, but nah, that was a good one. Good shit, y'all.